songbook's number 283, that'll be our invitation song after the lesson. 283.
Bid you all good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate the effort that you've made and the choice that you have made to be out with God's people tonight. It says a lot about you and your love for God and your love for the people here, and we appreciate that so very much. Continue on the announcement and welcome all those who are visiting with us tonight. We do have visitors again here this evening. Thank you for being here tonight and showing your interest in spiritual things and coming out and be with us to worship God and study more from His Word. It is good to see Mary McAfee out with us tonight. We certainly miss her when she's unable to be here. It's very encouraging to see her out with us here this evening. We want to remind ourselves that all we're interested in, once again, is what the Bible has to say. And we're going to open up that Bible right now and glean a lesson from it. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse for everything I have to say here on the PowerPoint to my left, your right. And I encourage you to take out a pencil and piece of paper, take down these notes, write notes in your Bible, get a copy of this CD, listen to it over and over again, pass it out to someone else. Because I think the message from the Word of God is very, very profitable. And this evening, I want you to know that although you may never hear another sermon from me, especially those you may be visiting with us here this evening, I want to encourage you that there is indeed absolute hope in any situation that you will face in your life. There is an answer. There is a solution. Suicide is becoming one of the leading killers of our young, and it's many times because they just simply don't see a solution. They don't see hope in their life. Life has become so disappointing to them. They become discouraged. They become disillusioned with life, and they do not see the hope that this good book reveals. And I want to talk to us about that here this evening. There is a solution. The Bible claims to contain all truth, John 16 and verse 13, and everything that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. If 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is to believe, it is apparent that since the Scriptures are profitable for correction, that whatever needs to be corrected in one's life, we can find the solution. We do have hope in our life. The Bible will be useful in all the areas of our life where we need to find an answer. And I preach this lesson this evening based upon a discussion I had too long ago with a child of God who was talking about this very idea of having hope. And I'd like to just talk about a few different areas here this evening, and I hope that you can make the application not only in the points that I raised for you here this evening, but other things that may come apparent in your life as well. I want you to see here this evening that maybe it is that you feel lost in this world. You don't know what the world is all about. You don't know exactly which way to turn. I want you to understand there is hope. Jesus observed the multitudes in Matthew 9 and verse 36, and he had compassion on them, describing them as sheep without a shepherd, the people who seem to be utterly lost without guidance. But the good news is that I want you to understand here this evening is we do not need to remain shepherdless. The Bible, without question, provides for the instruction of the word from the Word of God of all the things that's necessary for His beloved sheep. A well-lit path back to living life as God would have us to live. The psalmist said in Psalms 19, verse 7, the testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And I want you to hear in that the hope, the understanding, the knowledge, the guidance that I need in this life has been provided. And it's clearly stated in the Word of God. Paul, talking about this idea in Acts 26 and verse 18, says he preaches this word to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan unto God. There is hope to find your way in this life through the life-giving message of the Word of God. David, the psalmist in Psalms 23, said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, for he leadeth me. There is hope. There is a solution in your life as you think about this emptiness and this very fearful thought many times that we have when we look at our lives and we think that I'm lost. And I want you to appreciate turning to God and trusting in His ways can provide the life-giving path. The wise man in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Maybe it is you feel lost tonight. I want you to understand there is hope. There is hope that God gives you in solving that. Maybe it is you're thinking that you can fix yourself. As you look at your life and you think sometimes that it seems to be in an utter shamble, we think that maybe it is that we can fix ourselves. I want you to appreciate what Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 and verse 9 when he said, "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for our light, but behold, darkness. We hope for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us." Does that sound familiar? I mean, what do you do when you feel beaten down, overwhelmed, you lack energy or resolve, or otherwise unable to get relief from your problems? Have you ever tried various things in the past, yet seemed only to slip back into that pit? The psalmist says, "I sink back into the mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods have overtaken me." The first thing that I want us to understand here this evening is that trying to fix things on our own terms in this life all by ourselves without the wisdom of God and only through the wisdom of the world will never provide an effective long-term solution. The wise man again says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Behold, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourself with firebrands, walk in the light of your own fire, among the firebrands of your own blaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment." Isaiah 50. Verses 10 and 11. I want you to know there are two groups of people in that passage. There were those who feared the Lord, and they are encouraged to trust God and rely upon him. The others insist upon making their own fires, their own torches, their own flashlights. Are those attempting to find the way out of darkness without falling to scriptures? And they are always failures. We cannot make our own way. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death. I remember a few years ago, someone I knew was telling me about driving in an area, and they said they got lost. And they said, "Well, I made a wrong turn, and I just kept turning, hoping I would eventually find my way out." As you think about that, that's the way a lot of us live our lives. We keep making wrong turns and hope that one of them will magically fix everything. C.S. Lewis wrote in a book he wrote, Mere Christianity, on page 28, he said this, and I thought this was very apropos. He says, "We all want progress, but progress means getting nearer to the place where we want to be. And if you've taken a wrong turn, then go forward. That does not get you any nearer. If you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about face and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back the soonest is the most progressive of men." I want you to understand there is hope, but you must understand that you cannot fix it yourself. And the road that you're on, it will not lead you out if you've taken a wrong turn. If it seems like to you that your world is in a tailspin, I want you to appreciate what we've got to do is make an about face and turn back to God. But understand, there is hope. But also, see this. Do you ever think you can never get back? Maybe it is that you've made decisions. Maybe it is you've lived in a way in the past and it just seems like you've departed from God. You've lived in sin, or maybe you've just not been the child of God that you need to be. And you just don't think you can ever be back in that right relationship with God again. I want you to appreciate that there is hope, that Jesus argues contrary to that. He said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, he says, "When a man will humble himself as a child and will be converted and becomes like a children, in doing so, he enters the kingdom of God." Jesus also said that we can make a fresh start when he says a man must be born again in John 3 in verse 3. One of the passages that I sent a message out on regards to the idea of bodybuilding that we are thinking about this month in Matthew 119 verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall he wash his sins away? How can he make his life right again? By taking heed unto thy word. James said in James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. It doesn't matter how far away you have strayed away from God or for how long. God is always right there. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Confess your sins. If you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Underline that word all. All unrighteousness. God will forgive. He will cleanse. I want you to appreciate that many of us live lives of anxiety and guilt because of past sins. And we think sometimes, I can just never get back. I can never be back in that position that I once was in the standing of God. There's hope. There is hope. Obviously, Jesus would have never spoken of becoming of like a child and being born again if it were not possible. One does not have to remain hardened, jaded, cynical, distrustful people, angry, bitter, lustful, addicted, enslaved, or depressed perpetually. But note, one thing is necessary to turn back, and that is humility. Humbling ourselves as little children. I have to be willing to put aside all the excuses I've used in the past as far as why it is that this will not work. I have to scrap my game plan that I've been using and turn back to God. Do you ever think that you can just never get back your position before God? I want you to appreciate there is hope. Do you think sometimes that, you know what, Brian, I'm just too set in my ways? There's just no way for me to be a faithful child of God, to be a faithful comer of services, a faithful Bible reader, because I'm just so set in my ways. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, beginning verse 1, says, and you, speaking of these Ephesians, Christians, by the way, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly lived, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. These people had changed and become Christians, but that was the life that they used to live. Yet, they had indulged in sin to the full. They had given all their being to its practice. They indulged in the flesh. They had allowed their minds to become cesspools, if you were. And the Bible says they were by nature children of wrath. Now we understand that doesn't mean that they were just born that way. What it means is that they had practiced it for so long. It had become such a part of the life that it was literally second nature. In fact, they began to think what they were doing was just natural. How many times have you heard folks say that? Well, I'm just that way. Well, Brian, I was just born that way. And talking to some of the Ephesians on one occasion, someone might be talking to one of them and they might say that very thing, because they have become by nature the children of wrath. But what I want you to appreciate here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's hope. I can change. Jesus can change me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, as the Apostle Paul laid out all the sins of the Christians, he said, and such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in Christ Jesus. Paul changed from persecutor to preacher. The gospel writer John, who was the son of thunder, now turned into the writer of love. I want you to appreciate here this evening, you are not too set in your ways. You can change. There is hope. Do you think that Christianity sometimes only works for the good people? I want you to understand that there is hope. Spend some time reading the Bible, and you will find that many of the people who became Christians were not good people at all, but rather were initially quite worldly and full of sin. The Corinthians, listen to this in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Or what, do you not, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers or idolaters or the effeminate nor homosexuals or thieves or covetous nor drunkards or revilers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. The Christians there at Corinth had been sexual addicts, idol worshippers, adulterers, homosexual thieves, alcoholics, drug addicts, swindlers, yet they had been changed. These were not good people. These were sinners, just like you and me. But they had changed, and Christianity worked for them. The Ephesians had been by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. The Thessalonians had worshipped idols, for they themselves report about us, Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, how the reception that we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. These were idolaters who became Christians, pagans that became children of God. The Christians on the Isle of Crete came from a culture of liars and lazy gluttons. In Titus 1 and verse 12, of themselves, a prophet of their own said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And Paul said this testimony was true. That yet these were the ones the gospel was preached to that worked very effectively. Not only Peter described the former lifestyles of those who he wrote in the book of 1 Peter, he said, those who ran in excess of dissipation. He says, in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in that same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. The word excess there means literally overflowing or pouring out. The idea there is that the people are totally unrestrained and therefore engage in a full stream or flood of reprehensible behavior. And that was the culture that these people lived in. And these are things that they had participated in at one time. The point is this. Christianity works for all. It worked for the Apostle Paul, who, as he said, was the chiefest of sinners. Maybe it is when you look at this Christianity thing and you look around about you, maybe people even here in this assembly and say, well, of course it works for them. They're good people. Well, you're right about that. They're good people here. But I want you to understand that there's hope. That the people who were blessed with the forgiveness of sin and exalted to heavenly places were sinners, just like you and me. Christianity works for all. There is hope. And finally, I want you to see this. Maybe it is you think you just can't stop. I want you to understand that that's another lie of the devil that thinks that resistance is just futile. Yeah, just let us remember that being tempted is not the same as yielding to temptation. We sometimes sing that song, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Everyone is tempted. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that there's no temptation that's overtaken you except that which is common to man. But what I want you to understand is that there is no demand upon you to yield to that temptation. I can still have a choice when I am tempted. James said in James 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's the inference there that I have the ability to not yield to the temptation. The playwright Oscar Wilde one time wrote in a book, the only way to effectively deal with temptation is to yield to it. I'm here to tell you that he is wrong. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Joseph was tempted, but he refused. Genesis 39 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, I buffet my body daily to keep it under subjection. J. Wallace Hamilton wrote in his book, Horns and Hollows of the Heart. This is one of my favorite quotations that I've used in many a sermon. He says, there are two natures that beat within my breast. One is a cursing, one is a blessing. The one I feed will dominate. What nature do we feed? I have a choice. I have always been impressed with what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8 in verse 11. Jesus said to her, "Go your way, sin no more." Now Jesus was not naive, but rather as creator. He was an expert on human beings and all the outside and inside stuff that goes with it. And Jesus, as the creator, the original designer, says that sin is not a necessity. Go sin no more. What a liberating hope. Why not act upon that? In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." If you never hear another message, hear this. There is hope. As you struggle through this next week at home or at work or at school, remember this. There is hope. Maybe you feel lost. There's hope. There is a guide wishing to guide you. Maybe you're thinking you can fix yourself. Look, there's hope. But you can't fix yourself. You got to turn to God. Maybe you think you can never get back. There's hope. You can. Maybe you think you're just too set in your ways. You've got a choice. There's hope. Maybe you think Christianity is only for good people. There's hope. Even sinners like me can be forgiven. Maybe you think you can't stop. There's hope. There's hope. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Maybe there's one in our audience who has not been obedient to the words of the Lord when he said, "Go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved." You can do that very thing here tonight. Maybe there's something else that we can help you do that this good book will allow us to do to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We encourage you here this evening by extending to you the Lord's invitation and singing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to it in any way, come forward now as we stand and we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming, my enemy.